I'm Angie Robertson, and you're listening to Spirit-Led Life, Episode 11. On today's show, we have a special guest, Latara Venice, and I'm excited to have her join us, and we're going to talk all things soul care today. We've talked about how our soul is made up of our mind, will, and emotions, and on today, we're going to talk about what it means to care for our soul and how it can actually help us grow in greater intimacy with God. So I look forward to my conversation with Latara Venice. Let's go to the show. Welcome to today's episode. Before we get into the interview with Latara Venice, I thought that I would share a little bit about who she is, and then we will dive into our conversation. So Latara Venice is a vision activator and strategist for kingdom coaches who desire to thrive holistically in both life and business. As a certified master coach, biblical counselor, and God's yes girl, Latara has faithfully served clients for nearly two decades, offering godly wisdom and practical solutions that yield supernatural results. She is the author of Faith in Action, The Power of Using Your Measure, and Soul and Heart in Business, Reframing and Refocusing with a Kingdom Lens. When she's not serving others in business through the Color Your Soul company or her women's ministry, Whole Woman Ministry, Latara finds joy in gardening, being the caretaker for her mother, and spending time with two truth-speaking grown sons and granddaughter. Before we get to the interview, I want to make sure that you are either liking, sharing, or following this podcast. It means so much to me if you do any of those things because it helps others to find this podcast, and I really, truly appreciate it. You can follow in your favorite podcast player, or you can go to spiritledlifepodcast.com. Now let's go to the interview. Welcome, Latara, to the Spirit Led Life podcast. I am so glad you are here.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Angie. This is going to be fun.
It is. I'm excited. I'm so glad. I had a little direction change in what I was going to be talking about on the podcast, and God wanted me to. I was going to start talking about Holy Spirit and some different things like His, like what He does through us, for us, and in us. And God's like, whoa. First, people need to heal their souls before they can get into that. So you need to step back a little bit. I was like, okay. So, and He immediately laid you on my heart as someone to come on and talk about soul care since you have the Color Your Soul company. So I wanted to have you on and that, and I couldn't think of a better person to talk about this topic. So I'm so excited to have you here. And I thought we would start with just you sharing just a little bit about yourself. I've read the formal bio of you already, so listeners know that. But I thought if you could just share a little bit more, or anything else that you wanted to share that you can't fit in that short little bio.
Okay. Besides being just an awesome coach and advisor to people and to coaches,
yes.
I always tell people I'm God's yes girl. When He says shift, I shift. When He says go, I go. When He says, hey, it's time to elevate, I elevate. I may not always like it, Angie, but it's always necessary. Sometimes I have this thing of, if there were cavemen, I imagine God being a caveman and carrying me like cavewoman. Come, woman, let's go. What we have to do. Because sometimes I can go kicking and screaming, but I love the adventure with Him, and He always shows Himself so true to me and so faithful, and how in awe He is of me when we're doing things together. It blows my mind. And so I'm His yes girl, and I enjoy being His yes girl. I'm the type of girl, I keep it real. You have to, when you focus on soul care, you have to keep it real.
Yeah.
And I'm a mom of two awesome adult children. Oh my gosh. My oldest is going to be 32 in a couple of months, and my youngest will be 21 this year. And I have another child, an 83-year-old mother. And
she's awesome. And too.
She is the joy of my heart. I got a text earlier from my niece saying, can you send me the link to the Amazon link to the purse that Granny wants. And I said, she didn't tell me no purse. She said shoes. I said, she fooling you. That's my mother. And she got the purse, you know, and, you know, and I'm here in Oklahoma by way of LA. I'm an LA girl. And sometimes I miss Los Angeles, but most time I really love being in Oklahoma. Who'd have thunk an LA girl in Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you garden know, too. Like you yes, love the garden. So I you love do some amazing garden. Gardening.
Yes, I love to garden. I just got to go get my dirt. I've been looking out there planning and like, okay, we're going to plant this year. Ooh, I could put this over here. And I'm excited about gardening. So that's me in a nutshell, you know? Okay. And I do have to share that I'm somebody's girlfriend. That's been a whole other thing. So, you know, I won't say much more other than I'm somebody's girlfriend.
I love it. I absolutely love it. That's so fantastic. Yes. Latar and I, we've known each other for several years now, by way of Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur. And much like I did Ebony, when I did the interview with Ebony, that's how I knew Ebony is through Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur, and Latar and I the same way. So it's just been amazing to watch you grow and watch you evolve and watch how you are saying yes to God and what He has you doing. It's just such a fun journey to follow along with you. Yeah. So let's kind of dive in. Like I was saying, was that, you know, before we can kind of learn more about the Holy Spirit, like what He does in us, for us, and through us, we kind of have to do a little bit of soul work and heal our soul so that we can connect more deeply with our spirit and with God's spirit. And I want to talk a little bit more about that. How did you come about with the Color Your Soul company?
By living life. I had in April of 2015, I was journaling at like 2 o'clock in the morning and I wrote the words Color Your Soul. And I was like, okay, what's this about? And I contacted our mutual friend, Dr. Tony Robinson. And I said, hey, you know, do you have any thought around what this might mean? And she said, I don't know, but you better write it, keep it in that journal. If God gave it to you, you'll see what it'll manifest. It'll come to pass. Right. And so the following month on Mother's Day, my mom had a major stroke. She should not be here. And that's when the concept of Color Your Soul began. I didn't really see it for a few more months. But I had to, in taking care of her, I began to realize that I had to also focus on me a little bit because I was dealing with some things and, you know, I was the main caretaker. People were helping, but they weren't helping. Then they were fussing at me about what wasn't being done. And I was, just, you know, and the LA me wanted to come out. I was like, yeah, we're going to have some conversations and they're not going to be talking, you know? So I realized something wasn't quite right. And in September, we had two pretty rough tragedies occur. One was we lost our house to fire, and 8 days later we found out my nephew had been murdered. And so it was at that moment when it was the first time I ever told someone I'm not okay. And that's when the whole Color Your Soul process for me began, because when you do this kind of stuff, you don't just come out the bat. You have to, your experience has to follow it or has to go before it. And I began to say, I'm not okay. I'm angry. Don't talk to me about a scripture. My faith is shaky. I had to get really honest with what was going on with me emotionally in order for me to even begin to heal. There was a lot of pressure on me. There was a lot of things that was expected of me. And I couldn't accomplish all of that by myself. I couldn't do the things that were supposed to be done. You know, my mom's other daughter had lost her only son, and she was incapable of thinking or moving. And at the time, we're all living in the same house. Like, all of us. And there were times when some of his kids would be over. And I always tell people, my nephew left a nation. He had 14 children. Wow. And sometimes they would all want to be over in this house with this one bed, with this one bathroom and these two bedrooms. And we had to function in that. And I had to figure out a way to function so that I could breathe. And that's when I began to actually look up the term soul care. I was like, okay, I kept hearing, you need soul care, your soul, you know, your emotions. And just in doing the research, I found out that soul care was, it was a kingdom concept. Dallas Willard was talking about it years ago and people weren't catching it. And, you know, and he's long since gone, but his books are still here so we can learn more about soul care and the different ways that it is activated in our lives. December of 2016, God told me to hang up my coaching hat. I was doing brand marketing. I was branding businesses, right? He told me to hang it up. And I was like, well, what are we going to do? Because, you know, that's where I made my little bit of coins. Because everybody may not know, some of your listeners may not know that God told me, well, you a broke coach anyway, so let's hang it up. Because I was a broke coach. I wasn't making no money. I knew how to do it. I just didn't know how to value what I did, right? Mm-hmm. And I hung up my hat December 9th or 10th of 2016, went online, Facebook Live, and was like, I'm not coaching anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. I've phased out all my clients. I don't know what I'm doing. I just know that God is telling me I'm getting ready to go on an emotional journey and I need to enjoy the moment with him. And in January, New Year's Day, I believe it was, I did my very first post or my very first live, 2017, January 1st, about becoming an emotional adult, because the message was clear. God said, I need for my children to grow up emotionally. And it starts with soul care. It's because that is the soul is what? Your mind, your will, your emotions, all that stuff goes together. Yeah. And I spent the whole year of 2017, just about every day on Facebook Live. I didn't have a business. I didn't have anything but a message. I didn't have the brand. I didn't have anything. And I knew it was Color Your Soul. I just didn't know what it looked like. I had no thought, no plan. So I just went live every day. And throughout that year, he began to piece together the brand just by me going live every single day and getting messages from people on how much it was helping them and what it was doing. And they never thought of the soul, because we always hear about our spirits, yes, our spirit. And God kept telling me, if you're in Christ, your spirit man is good. It's your soul that needs some help. I was like, whoa. So that's how Color Your Soul came to be, by my own experiences and having to heal.
I wrote down so many things to unpack. You said so many wonderful nuggets that, oh my gosh. One of the things I want to go back to is you basically recognizing that something was wrong and that you told someone that you're not okay. Mm. I imagine that was a huge surrender, if you will, for you to do that. Because I know for myself, it's hard to say that I need someone or need something. Talk a little bit more about that. Like, what was that like for you? And what transpired after you made that kind of, you identified that and named it?
Yeah. You know, I think it started the morning after the fire. And this was before my nephew was murdered. And I was in a hotel. Somebody had got us a room for a couple of nights. A friend had said, listen, I'm going to go to Walmart and get you all some clothes. What size do you need? Because we lost everything in the fire. What do you need? And so I told her, and she was downstairs in the lobby. And as soon as I went down there, and I've never done this, I buried my face into her shoulder. And I just cried. And I said, I'm sorry. She said, don't apologize. This is natural. And it never dawned on me, Angie, that, because we're always taught to what? Suck it up.
Yep.
You know, don't cry. Don't cry. Don't. And so you apologize for something that's natural. Yeah. That guess what? It should happen. It's okay if it does. I just lost my house and everything. Just that those, and I remember apologizing and trying to wipe the, you know, the tears and the snot off her shoulder. And she was like, it's okay. This is washable. Or guess what? I can just toss it. It's okay. Yeah. Either or. Yeah. And I began to breathe with her. And it was through a series of, there were a few people who stopped by the hotel to drop things off. Each of them were so integral, because each of them said, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay for you to feel this way. My pastor from Los Angeles called, I remember, and he said, hey, you've always been the leader in your family. I want you to do me a favor and sit down and just follow God for a while. I don't want you to be strong, Latara. It's like, and I never thought that he would have called. It had been some years since I had spoken to him or seen him. It had been probably around that time. And it had been like maybe 2 or 3 years since I had been to LA. And so that call was so important for me to have my pastor to call and say, I don't want you to be the normal Latara, because that Latara is not going to work for you in this instance. I want you to be the Latara that God is calling you to be in this. And that's his child. It was the following week when we were at church, and it was right before we found out that my nephew was murdered. And someone said, how are you? And I said, I'm not okay. And I felt okay with that. And then we were in church about maybe an hour later. We found out my nephew was murdered while we were in church. That moment of saying I'm not okay actually made it easier for me to bear the news that my son told me as I walked outside that day, outside the church building. And he said, Mama, they killed him. And I said, they killed who? And he said, they killed Ray. And I was like, what? You know, and I was okay with letting go, like just releasing in that moment and receiving it and being okay with grieving outside of a space where normally, you know, I'm at church. Let me not cry. No, this is where I need to cry because I need you all right now. And that right there was that key thing for me that made me go, wow. You know what? It's okay to release your emotions. Like, this is really good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I was just talking on the episode before this to kind of introduce this series on soul care that I've been studying about emotions and how if we don't allow our emotions to flow, then they get bottled up inside of us and they come out in different ways, like chronic illnesses, different, you know, it can come into serious illnesses and even mental disabilities. And so it's so interesting to see how, you know, the first piece of devastating news for you, the fire, how you kind of held those emotions back and what that was doing to you. And then when you got the second tragedy news, you allowed those emotions to just flow. Yes. And what a difference that was. Yeah.
Oh, big difference.
You said something that I found really interesting, emotional adult. Can you unpack that a little bit and what that looks like?
Listen, let me tell you, God gave me that. And I said, God, you want me to go tell the people that they need to grow up emotionally, become emotional adults? He said, yeah. Because they need to do some emotional adulting. That's when adulting started, because that word adulting started. And and when I thought about that, what God showed me was this. So we talked about this already. You know, people say, suck it up, don't cry. I don't know if who was like my mama, but I would cry and she would go, if you cry, I'm going to give you a spanking. I'm like, that's why I'm crying. You just spanked me, or you just said this, that to me, you know. And God took me through a series, like a history, not just my history, but my mom's history and maybe her mom's history of how as children, we're taught to behave. Mm-hmm. We're taught to suppress our emotions. So therefore, what has happened is that where my mom stopped growing emotionally, might have been 10, you know, 11, 12, whatever, is how she emotionally behaved all the way into her adult years. Where her mother did the same. Maybe she stopped, you know, back then, especially being from African-American community and that being around the time of, you know, Jim Crow and all this other kind of stuff. I could imagine that my grandmother probably was taught to suck up her emotions at about 5 or 6. Wow. You know, just out of fear of, we don't know what's going to happen. And so this stunting happened in our community. And it's not just in the African-American community, but in America, period. We stopped growing at a specific age. And I was like, emotionally, and I was like, wow, God, I never thought about that. And it helped me to forgive my mother for some of the ways that she actually may have behaved, because she didn't know any better. Yeah. She didn't know how to move beyond, say, a 10-year-old emotionally. Yeah. My mother was really huge with, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry. Are you at, you know, mom, you know, you really should apologize. Well, I'm sorry. And I said, you really didn't mean that. Now when she says, I'm sorry, you know, she means it because she's grown up so much emotionally watching me. And that's what God was showing me, is that his children, who his children were really a bunch of emotional children, and they need to learn how to be emotional adults. And I was like, whoa, which means that there was some healing that had to happen. And guess who he called to the, guess who he called to the forefront to bring it? Me.
It's kind of like that thing where if you're in a group, a team or something, and you make a suggestion and the person goes, great, why don't you take that on?
Yeah, but here's the thing. I didn't make that suggestion. God did.
That's true. This is true. Oh, so I imagine with that, you know, you're discovering about becoming an emotional adult. I imagine that's where kind of the color of your soul started to develop. Can you share a little bit about, like, I mean, obviously, you know, people can find out more about that. We'll share some more at the end of the episode, but take us a little bit through of like what that was like developing that and what you're helping people to do in the color of your soul.
That's a God thing too, because that whole year, 2017, I didn't have any clients. I couldn't coach. I was like, God, how are we going to make money? I don't understand. The only money I had coming through was through KDE. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, God, you know, this money at the time, I said, this don't pay my rent. What are we doing? And I want to say this real quick, you know, where the word talks about, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. I watched God bank me in that year because I had no services. No, like if someone said, you know, hey, I want to hire you as a coach. I didn't know how to tell them what I would do. I didn't know anything. It was through the process of the sharing every day and the messages that he gave me to share that I began to, like, didn't even realize I was actually mapping out the process I had went through, right? And he gave me these like 12 keys. And he said, this is where you're going to base all of your services and your products. And I was like, okay, if you say so. He said, because this is the process that you took to actually get your soul whole, the color your soul process, right? I remember the first 5 keys, how that started with me doing something called a soul detox, which was a whole year later, Angie, again, 2017.
Wow.
I couldn't take any clients.
Sure.
I couldn't take any clients, but I was developing the process for soul care and didn't know it, right? Mm. And so we had those first 5 keys, which is steep your life in the kingdom, know your identity, know your values, know your priorities, and know your needs. And I was like, as I looked at it, I said, oh my gosh, not only is this a stair-step process, but I literally can walk people through each of these steps to see where they are, because it's going to help you to grow up emotionally. Mm-hmm. These are things that God was showing me, that they don't sit with me. They don't spend time with me like they should. It's more than just prayer. I want relationship with them. And then he was like, when they get relationship with me, then they're going to know who they are, and they'll know what they value and how to prioritize it and what they need. And I was like, whoa, God. I mean, literally, that's how it all unfolded, how the whole Color Your Soul company came to be, how I began to coach around emotional and mental, you know, wholeness, and how he gave me that whole and holistic approach to life. And then he kept showing me, don't you remember when you looked at those 4 quadrants in a magazine, which I never found again? I never found these 4 quadrants. I went to look them up. I typed them in Google and nothing was coming up. But he showed me again where I could show people where they behave mentally and emotionally in different areas. He was like, this is another part of the process. Mm-hmm. Man, like, it was all a God thing. To this day, I'm like, I didn't sit and make that stuff up. God laid it all out.
I love that. I love when he does that. I mean, you know, I was just saying this the other day. I was answering a question from a listener, and I was like, when I got the question, I was like, I have no idea what the answer is for this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but wait a minute, I don't have to answer this by myself. I can actually go to the throne room of God and ask him for the answer, and he'll show it to me. And he does. Mm-hmm. He did, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that we don't have to do any of this by ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I think that's one of the beautiful things as believers, that, you know, I think people don't deal with their emotions because they're afraid of their emotions mm-hmm. and they're afraid of going there and like they, that they may not be able to come back from that. Mm-hmm. And when we do that with God, we don't have to be afraid of that. We don't have to be afraid to go there with him. He can handle it. You know, he's a big God. He can handle it all for sure.
Yeah, he's a big, huge God. He can do way more than we ever could. When Jesus said, come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy, he wasn't playing. Listen, my burden is light. Yours is, give me your heavy stuff.
Yes. I'm glad. I'm glad he has some broad shoulders to handle all of this.
You and me both. Man.
Well, I want to kind of touch a little bit about, you kind of went over like five of the keys. Mm-hmm. I want to touch a little bit about why is it so important for us to heal our soul? Like, what does that do for our relationship with God?
Here's the number one thing that I tell people, right? The soul is where God breathed everything you need to exist in the body he formed, right? That's God was like, okay, I got this body, now let me bring it to life, right? So that you become this living being and you become a person who can carry the soul. The spirit is one part of us, right? Mm-hmm. But the soul is what we live out every day. Yeah. It's what we live out. And when you think about that very thing right there, the reason why it's so important for soul care is because over time, in life, our soul gets dinged, right? Mm-hmm. There's a song by Donald Lawrence called Deliver Me, and Deliver Me From Myself is what the song is really about. We get into these spaces and these places. When I began to grow emotionally, Angie, I was about literally emotionally 15, and I was in my 40s, okay, when I started this process. I behaved like a teenager, and I had to really go back to that 15-year-old Latara and see where she was and what was going on with her and why she was like she was, which took me back further to the 3-year-old Latara who experienced molestation for the first time. It took me through a process of, first off, forgiveness. And once I went through forgiveness, I had to go through building emotional and mental fortitude. What I learned is in doing the soul care piece, it prepared me for the dreams that God had for me, for the reason why I was here. I was not moving effectively in my identity because my soul was so dinged. I couldn't recognize myself in the we're made in the image of God. I couldn't even see myself in his image. I didn't know who I was. I could say I was saved all day, every day, right? I could say that, you know, my spirit is, you know, I'm my spirit. That's fine. Again, when you accept Christ, your spirit is fine.
Yeah.
Your soul has some stuff it has to work on, you know? The Bible doesn't say once you get saved, then, you know, your soul, everything is instantly healthy. It doesn't say that. Yeah. There's a process, and I had to go through that process. And as I did, it became more evident who I was in him. And I'm not just talking about being, you know, like I'm royalty. You know, people say that, yeah, I'm royalty, I'm this, or, you know. No, who am I? Moving in the fact that I am like, I tried so much to be what I thought people wanted me to be, okay? Mm. And I always give the example of someone who thought I was like Dr. Tony Robinson. And I'm like, no, we way different. We got some things together. But I tried to show up in a way like, okay, well, maybe if I am more like Tony, maybe if I give these prophetic words. But guess what, Angie? Although we move in the prophetic, we can all be prophetic. Not all of us are prophets.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's not who I am. But as I began to understand the power of the wisdom that God had given me to move in and the way that it offers practical ways for people to actually experience God, I was like, practical? Really, God? They can experience you in a practical way? This don't always have to be this supernatural stuff? No. Right? the more I did that, the more I was able to see, wow, wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a minute. Okay. This soul stuff is really important. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm identified as this. And then I began to value more of what it was that God had me to offer and how I lived my life. Because when you identify yourself, you value yourself even more when you begin to walk in the identity that God has given you. So the soul care is so important, just so you can get to that point right there of, wow, I am identified in God. And I learned this through spending time with him and being bold enough to hear him. Because I think sometimes we're not bold enough to hear him. That's why we miss him so much. Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Or we think we're missing him, or why we don't pay it. We're like, I think that's God, but we're just not bold enough. Like Paul says we should be. I was bold enough to spend that time with him and develop into the person that he called me to be without fear. And that's what makes the soul care so important, because your thoughts and your emotions, they partner together for your success or your demise. And I learned so much through that process of where I was emotionally was going to affect where I was mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Mm. Just, it's like everything's a quotable here. What would you say if someone was starting their journey, like they're recognizing, you know, after hearing this podcast, hearing you speak, they're like, wow, I need some soul care. Where would you suggest or recommend that they start?
This is going to sound strange because most people would think I would say a counselor. Mm. I'm not going to say a counselor. Do you need a counselor? Sure. But understand that a counselor is about the psychology of the mind. Mm. The soul, right, is about all encompassing. So if you did find a counselor, find someone who also works with emotional balance. Mm. Find someone who is about you getting emotionally whole as well. But you really want to start with, you really can start with you and saying, Lord, I, you know, you could be like, I'm listening to Latara right now, and I think I'm about 10 emotionally. That's the first part, is admitting that, wait a minute. Let me admit that I have this issue. And then asking God, okay, what does it look like for me to get the help here? And I can say this, whether he says, just hold yourself accountable to somebody for the change, get a mentor or whatever it is, it's not going to be just you and him. I can tell you that right now. Yeah. It will be just you and him, but because he's the source, but there'll be resources who will be people, places, and things that you need to connect with. Go connect with those things, right? Mm-hmm. Before you get a counselor, before you get a soul care coach, whatever that may look like, before you get any of that, you first want to say, I need help. And God, you are the source. So lead me to the resources so that I can get the assistance that I need. Because it could be reading a book.
I love that. And I think that's important too, is that I think some people can get stuck in that I need help, but I mean, am I a bad person for, you know, something wrong with me, or am bad if I go seek help? Or they can get the other flip side of that is, oh, well, that's worldly to need help, you know? And it's like, but God created all the resources. Like, he created all of it. And some of it can be distorted.
Yes.
But then there are those that, you know, he redeems everything. So, you know, there, you just have to look and you have to discern with the Holy Spirit, like, where does he want you to go? What does he want you to seek? And he will absolutely point you in that way. And, you know, there's some things that help others, you know, that maybe other people feel like, oh, that's not for me. You know, that doesn't work and resonate, like that just doesn't speak to my spirit. But he'll definitely show you. And it's going to be different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the things that I love about the work that you do is, while, yes, you have these keys and you have this plan, it's still individualized for each person. It's not a blueprint. You know, you're handing them tools, but they're still working on themselves, and it's going to look different for every single person that comes through your program.
Oh yeah. It always looks different, because the keys actually helped me to map out, right? Like I'll talk to them about different things and I'll listen and I'll go, okay, well, they're struggling with identity. Like they, so that means they need to like really spend some time with God. And then I know how to create or craft their program and how long we need to work together. And somebody could have all of these things together. And let's say they don't really know how to be intentional. That's one of the keys. Okay, so they know how to be intentional. How can we help them to be intentional? That's what I love about this whole soul care process and even these 12 keys is that I really can look and go, oh, well, they're struggling here. Let me go do this. And I love that because no two people need the same type of soul care.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus God is the beauty of seeking resources is that God can tell those people things that you can't hear just right now. Mm-hmm. Like you're not open to hearing them or something's blocking an emotion of something is blocking you from hearing that. And he can use others to speak into your life and speak those things and show you things that you're missing, you know, and that's the beautiful thing. And one of the important things about seeking others to support you in this.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. You know, I always tell people that for years, I struggled with depression for a whole decade. And I can remember one day and I was like, God, what do I do? What do I do? And this was not long after I actually tried to take my life in February 2008. And I remember going, oh, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And then I had a friend who was a counselor and she said, hey, let's talk. And I was like, oh, you know, that's for other people, not me. I'm just going to pray about it. And I remember when God said to me, that's the resource. That's the tool. You're asking for tools. Counseling is a tool. I gave you the answer to your prayer. Mm. Go talk to somebody because I needed that practical application of what this thing looked like for me. That's the struggle so many people have. They want this supernatural deliverance and that can occur. But there's practical application. When you think about the miracles in the Bible, what was the practical thing Moses had to do for the Red Sea to part? Lift his hands up. Hold up that. You remember?
Yeah.
When the lepers wanted to be cured, what were they told to do? They had to physically go dip themselves in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Practical.
That's wow. I never really looked at it that way. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I just had a mind-blowing moment.
Yeah. We stay stuck in the supernatural and God's like, yeah, well, I'm supernaturally practical. Let's go.
An amazing, amazing conversation. Thank you so much. I want to leave with a couple things. First, I want you to share with the people how they can find out more about you.
You know, the best place to find out more about me is to connect with me on social media because I update social media much more than I do my website. So and I'm kind of taking my website through a revamp. You can go look at it, but it's changing so much. But find me at Latara Venice anywhere on social media, specifically Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn.
There you go.
And my YouTube channel. I mean, like that's where you connect with me. That's where you can find out more about me. I'm a very personable person. And Angie, I tell you, it's been a long me getting there.
Yes.
But I love relationships and I always have. And so, but I didn't understand. I always love relationships, Angie, until my soul got healed. Then I began to go, I really do like people. Wow. Okay, yeah. God.
And you like hugging. You like to hug people.
Yes. So connect with me on social media. If you need to see my website, you can just jump on over to www.lataravenice.com.
Yeah. And I'll be sure to link to all of this in the show notes as well.
Yeah. But that's pretty much social media is my gig, is how I reach people. Yeah. If you want to get on my list, just, you know, shoot me an email, lataravenice@coloryoursoul.org. I'll put you on the list because I connect with my email list about once or twice a week.
Well, this has been so enriching. I just thank you so much. And before we sign off, I want to ask you a question of what does a spirit-led life look like for you?
surrender. Like when I said that I'm God's yes girl, that takes daily surrender. Because there are sometimes as humans when we don't want the spirit to lead us, we want to lead ourselves. So, you know, it's that surrender piece. There is a piece where we surrender and we wave the right flag, and then we have to submit, right? Because it's like, oh, wow. Think about a soldier, and when the soldier surrenders, they don't necessarily have to submit. But when I surrender, in order for me to stay connected to the spirit, I have to submit as well. Like, I have to surrender and submit to the spirit.
So good. Oh, man. Thank you, Latara.
Well, thank you, Angie.
Wasn't that interview so rich? I had so many nuggets of what I wrote down and aha moments. I adore Latara. She means so much to me. Again, when I share the story of Dave's cancer journey, Latara is a very pivotal piece in that story, and I can't wait to share more of that with you. So we have a very special connection. And she's very, very, very dear to my heart. So I'm so glad that I was able to have her on. And she was the very first immediate person I thought of for this series on soul care. And now we have our basis down for our soul care. And I can't wait for you to join me in the next episode where we talk a little bit more and go into a little bit deeper with a particular resource. Before we get into this week's Heavenly Position System Challenge, I want to be sure that you are subscribed to our weekly newsletter. This newsletter is sent out every week, and it lets you know when the next episode is dropping, as well as I share behind the scenes only with newsletter subscribers and nowhere else. So to get your copy, be sure to go to spiritledlifepodcast.com, scroll down, fill out the subscriber form, and you'll be added to our list. For this week's Heavenly Position Systems Challenge, I want you to take out your journal, like we always do, and spend about, if you can spend more than 15 minutes, I would actually recommend that. And I want you to sit with God and talk to Him about your emotions. Ask Him to show you where you might be stunted emotionally. And then really dive in and ask Him to show you the resources like Latara talked about, in what can help you to grow yourself emotionally and heal your soul. As I leave you today, I want to leave you with a quote from Dallas Willard, who Latara mentioned when we were doing the interview. "The quality of our souls will indelibly touch others for good or for ill. So we must never forget that the most important thing happening at any moment in the midst of all our ministerial duties is the kind of persons we are becoming. God is greatly concerned with the quality of character we are building. To God be the glory." Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. And be sure to tune in each week so we can learn together how to have a spirit-led life.